Okay, this is Nico. We have Dave Weiner and Joe Trippi on the line.
Hey, Nico.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Nico. Hey, Dave.
So I think I'm hearing my own voice now. Nope, that's okay. So are you watching the committee hearings, the Democratic committee hearings?
Yeah, I am sort of in and out. I've been watching it and doing chores at the same time. Sounds like Nico's been doing the same thing.
Not me. I've been riveted. Maybe this is all old hat for you guys, but for me, it's absolutely fascinating to watch this process. The stakes seem pretty high, you know?
This looks to me like it's all been planned out and everybody already knows what's going to happen. And they're just sort of going through the script.
Really? So what's going to happen?
I mean, some version of all the people being seated and being counted in halves. Probably with either in Michigan, the undecideds already being called undecided, but are pretty much will be slated as Obama people. In other words, they'll claim, you know, they'll basically say, you know, 50% for Clinton, 40% undecided or something like that. And the group of undecideds will really be Obama people. You heard Mame Riley talk about how certain she was that the uncommitted slate in Michigan would vote unanimously for Obama. It sounds to me like there's sort of, you know, put it this way, everybody's pushing in the same direction here, which means I think the two campaigns have probably come to some accommodation, and most of their people on these committees are going to try to push in the same direction, it looks like.
So why so much accommodation for Clinton? I mean, it looks like they're really bending over backwards, too. I mean, she's getting pretty much everything she could reasonably want, no? I mean, I know that they say they want all the delegates in Michigan, but, you know, that wouldn't be fair, right?
No, they're not going to get that. And, you know, I mean, a lot of this is, you know, she may have pushed as hard as she can get, and this is the best she's going to get. And she, you know, and in other words, I think Eric pushed behind the scenes, and you're seeing, you can see the key people on the committees. I mean, Don Fowler is speaking now, has been around, you know, forever. He's a real icon of this kind of committee fight. I mean, this is a guy who has been there for all of them for years and is very respected by both sides, regardless of who he's with.
So how's it going to play out? So we know what, I guess, according to what you're saying, we know what the outcome is going to be from today's meeting. What's going to happen next? I mean,
she'll be out of this by within the next 10 days. I mean, once this is done, you know how they're all seated. Then you have Puerto Rico today, or tomorrow, excuse me, and then you have, you know, the last two states, South Dakota, Montana, whatever, on Tuesday, that's it. So there's no way she can get it from here. And at that point, you'll probably have whatever Barack Obama needs Tuesday night to put him over officially, whether it's 20 superdelegates or 60 superdelegates, my bet is that they're all cooked already and will come out for him immediately, put him over the top. And I actually think what they may try to do is let Montana put him over the top. I hear a lot of rumblings that Obama intends on contesting Montana, and that if they could get this done today, get Puerto Rico done, you know, which they'll lose badly, and then have between Puerto Rico and Tuesday have a number of superdelegates come out for them, leaving a slim margin that they need to go over the top, and then declare that Montana put them over, you know, and talk about how he hopes Montana will be there for him in the general too. Probably do the same trick at the convention in terms of, you know, simulating again the order of what happened, you know, let Montana put him over again.
Why Montana? Why is Montana so important?
He wants those three. They figure they can get insurance. They want to push out west.
Right, I understand. So why not, like, Colorado, which has a lot more votes?
Well, Colorado's not up.
Pardon me?
Colorado's not up. The only two states that could put them over the top on Tuesday are Montana or South Dakota.
Oh, no, I understand that. But for the general election, I mean, why not focus theatrics at the convention to a more significant state than Montana?
They may do that. They may do that. I was just for postulating out what I think they may do. I was using Montana as an example of the convention, but I think what they're going to try to do is have Montana put them over the top, claim, you know, again that he's won in the West, that that he understands the West, that he needs the West and Montana to vote for him in the general, and thank you, Montana and the West, for putting me over. And then you may be right, and then at the convention do Colorado and make the same sort of a plea to the West to go with him.
Yeah.
With insurance in case Ohio or Pennsylvania or something, you know, goes McCain.
Joe, no interference from Clinton. This won't go to the convention then? Is that what you're saying? This is like over this week?
I don't see that happening, at least not from what I'm seeing in these hearings. You look at these hearings, this looks like, again, the campaigns have basically settled this last night or in the last week, and the committee.
You say that because it's kind of so polite.
Yeah, and also it's pretty clear. You see one Clinton person say, "I can accept this," and an Obama person will say almost the same thing.
Absolutely, the Florida thing certainly seemed that way. I mean, at one point Wexler had to defend himself, saying, "Look, you're going to blame me because we managed to get together on this." Seemed pretty funny.
I think the interesting thing is, will Obama trust the Clinton people? Because I think what you hear going on the Michigan side is, trust us, give Clinton people their share, and allow the rest of the delegates to go as uncommitted, and trust us that we won't try to play games, that those uncommitted will vote for you.
That's what I keep worrying about in the back of my head, is that, you know, she's got some sort of sequence of events, and that if you just give up the right number of delegates at this stage, that she can manage to cobble together something really, you know, evil and we're going to be fighting this thing for the whole summer, basically.
Right.
You know, Joe, what I found really fascinating, one of the reasons why, okay, I mean, I understand, you know, I see your point about it being all staged, but I learned a lot from just listening to these guys, you know, make their case, things that after listening for hours and hours to CNN and MSNBC and Face the Nation and Meet the Press and all the rest of that somehow these ideas never came out, you know, it sort of is to me like an indictment of the press, that if they would just let people say what they have to say, that we might be better served, you know, we meaning the people who actually watch the shows, you know.
Well, I mean, I definitely agree with that. On the one thing that's going on here, though, is that, you know, 2 weeks ago, the Clinton campaign may have not been willing to give up this much, or the Obama campaign either. In other words, who knows? You know, it's kind of like when you watch, you know, when you're watching the pot, it's hard to see how, you know, are we changing history because everybody's watching and yelling at each other, et cetera? I mean, you know, there's an effect going on, and I think part of that created the environment where everybody came into this thing and said, let's just agree that we're going to fix this, because they got no other way to do it. I mean, I think the Clinton campaign wanted all the delegates in Michigan if they could get them, you know, and so, but they realized somewhere over the last few weeks they're not going to get them. And maybe the coverage was right when they were reporting that. It's sometimes hard, having been inside these things. I remember, you know, at a DNC, private DNC meeting of all the heads of the campaigns in 2004, you know, we had a massive fight internally about debates. And you know, we all walked out and everybody smiled and said we were all agreed. I mean, it's just, you know, so sometimes it's hard in these party things to really understand what's going on. I mean, things that are happening in public are not necessarily what happened at knocking heads at 3 in the morning last night.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You think maybe the McClellan, the whole story that came out about McClellan has anything to do with this? I mean, I look at Harold Ickes, and he almost seems like a Republican to me, but he stands out in this crowd as being, you know, more devious than the rest. I don't know. Maybe that's just the way I look at it. Maybe it's because I support Obama that I see it that way.
Well, Harold Ickes is the best maneuverable. Of all the consultants out there, we all have our different, you know, abilities and stuff. This guy is the best at this rules stuff and convention stuff. I mean, he managed the whole, was one of the big managers in the Kennedy fight on the floor against Carter in 1980.
That was on the floor of the convention?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He ran the podium. Tip O'Neill was chairing the thing, and he fought with Tip O'Neill every step of the way to get any edge. Tip was being fair, and Ickes was trying to gain any advantage he could because Tip was from Massachusetts, and Kennedy obviously was a good friend from Massachusetts too. But he, you know, Harold Ickes is truly a, you know, there's one of a kind. There's no one else like him in the party. Tough as nails, and he's going to fight to the death for his candidate, no matter who, you know, what the odds are. That's just what he's made of and who he is. And, you know, and he would be doing the same thing for Barack Obama if he was with Barack Obama.
How do these people get on the Rules Committee?
You know, it's, you know, they campaign for it, frankly. I mean, you start off with the entire DNC membership, and some of them are just happy being DNC members. Others want to be, you know, on these committees, you know, the two committees you want to be on are rules and credentials. So, I mean, there's other people who want to be on platform committee and want to, you know, be there to write energy stuff to the platform if that's what their interests are. So it's a bunch, you know, each member, you know, has their own interests and tries to get on the committee that they like. But it's a lot like Congress. You know, you can want a committee all you want, unless the chairman's going to appoint you, unless you're going to get, you know, appointed by the chairman to the committee, or that one of the rules automatically makes you a member of that committee. You know, you're not going to get on. You know, it's kind of like this freshman congressman wants to be on armed services, not necessarily going to happen. You know, go get your seniority, go spend your time on the committee. Same thing with the DNC. Got to spend your time, move up the ladder, and you know, if everything goes right, you'll end up on one of these powerful committees.
Excellent.
We've got a little dead air. Where should we go from here? Maybe we should talk a little bit about what we're doing with News Junk. You want to talk about that?
I'm pissed at you guys about News Junk.
Why? Because it's a good name?
You guys didn't say, hey, Joe, want to do News Junk with us? No, I had to read it on David.
All right, Joe, would you like to do News Junk with us?
Yes, I would love to do News Junk with you guys. I'm happy that you asked.
You're doing it right now.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Oh, good. I mean, you know, we had to get our act together first and sort of work out the rough ideas and sort of get it smoothed out. But
yeah,
the,
I can help on ideas.
Of course. And
That's
in fact, believe it or not, you actually have already contributed ideas because the initial, you know, conversation that Nico and I had was basically, I was hanging out in Burlington at the Dean campaign, and I saw these big, thick blue books that you guys were passing around, the briefing books. And I thought, that's what I want. You know, I want to be able to sort of look at the same information that a campaign would be getting, but I want it to be open. I want everybody to be able to read that information and comment on it and add to it and so forth. So that's sort of the concept. You know, I'm a news junkie, and so that's why it's you know, it's News Junk. But yeah, let's work on this. What do you think?
So I steal the books and you guys put them up on the website. We're going to do
say that again.
So So I steal the briefing books, and you guys put them up on the
That's
web?
Right.
Okay.
Did you say yes, Nick? Well,
Joe, just fax them to us.
Okay.
No, we want you to be like, I don't know, I mean, like what we're doing right now, you know?
Right.
Is that no, knock I, on your door and say, wait a minute, we need to sort of cut through the shit here and figure out what's actually going on, you know? And then, you know, be viral. Let's get some of your friends or, you know, let's try and be expansive on this. My philosophy is let's, you know, the more the merrier, you know, and let's reform the way information flows about these campaigns. That's what blogging right. was all about in the first place, podcasting. All these technologies are there for us to do it, but we actually have to do it, you know? You can't just sit around. If you wait, what you'll end up with is, you know, more apparatus that sort of conforms to the usual rules. You have to apply the technology in ways that, you know, that empowers more people. And you know, I think Obama is an idealist. I am definitely an idealist. And I want to see these ideas actually work. So that's, I know... that probably sounds really weird, but it's...
I'd love to do... No, but I think it's a great mix, because, like, today, like the committee stuff, I mean, you know, I've seen the committee a zillion times. You guys have fresher eyes. You may spot stuff I'll never see, because I've seen it so many times it bores me. On the other hand, I might be able to, like, you know, shed some light that you guys, you know, the 30 years of doing it, you know, helps shine some light on how it actually, what's actually going down. So,
cool.
Man, well, then some real storm has hit us here.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
It's so, hitting really hard.
Well, let's the three of us get together at some point, face to face, and just, you know, talk about this, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, man. I think we're right at 17 minutes, which is a pretty good length for something like this. So,
Cool.
So thanks, Joe and Nico.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Take care.
Okay, guys.
Adios. Bye.